I looked up, so sorry, I looked up the story, like the premise of I Have No Mouth and Yet I Must Scream. Nothing related to this episode at all. Like, they did it just for the parody reference.
It's not a parody if it has nothing to do with it. It's just you copied it.
Yeah, like a wink and a nod to that original title. Like, that's all it is.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, I've read this. That's what they're saying. I have read this.
right.
And as you know, this is the measure of an episode where it is our continuing mission. So far, our 3.5-year mission to explore what makes Star Trek genuine Star Trek and not just funny TV. It was funny.
It is.
It's funny.
It's funny.
Well, it was funny. Was it not funny? You saying it's not funny?
No, I'm agreeing with you. That's why I said it's funny.
Oh, well, yeah. I should have. Sorry, there was just too much enthusiasm over the spitting and everything. I couldn't understand what you were saying.
Over me gasping for breath?
Yeah. Well, who are you?
I'm Jonathan. And we do this using three criteria. The first one is there sci-fi woven into the plot in such a way it cannot be removed without drastic rewrites? Number two, is that sci-fi presented in a unique or novel fashion and it is not just some stereotypical trope? And number three, is there a character that faces a moral or ethical dilemma? A little bit deeper than should I punch my commanding officer in the face? I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Paul, and this week we watched Lower Decks, Season 4, Episode 2. I Have No Bones, Yet I Must Flee. And before we read the blurb, we have a celebration. This is our 151st episode, Jonathan.
Ish, yes.
It's 151st-ish episode. That's true. It's not the exact 151st episode. You're right.
As of the publication of this episode, it will be the 151st episode. If you listen to this any later than the week it's released, it will not be our 151st episode because our episodes will have been renumbered.
Yeah, the suits didn't like our numbering scheme.
I know. Yeah. I was so irritated when they called us into that conference room.
Well, especially because there was no one there.
You know, I try to go along note. With your jokes. I try to do a yes and you'd like, you say this thing and I'm like, yes, and you're like, no, Jonathan, that's stupid.
I know, I set you up just perfectly. I look great. You look stupid.
And I come back for more.
I actually don't have the blurb. So now that we were done celebrating 151st, I don't have the blurb.
Still no? You had all that time.
Right, I still don't have the... Well, here's the thing. It's so hard to find on Paramount Plus because, you know, you do the thing. You click on the show and then you click on the, you know, Strange New Worlds or Lower Decks or...
Whatever Picard. We're watching, right?
Right. And then they have all the episodes down there and I like hover over it, nothing comes up. I click on it and it just starts playing the episode. How am I to get the blurb? I don't know. I always am too irritated by that point to get it. And I'll just say, hey, Jonathan, why don't you read the blurb?
And I will say, Mariner tries to get demoted. Rutherford tries to get promoted. Boimler makes a big move.
Did you just make that up?
No.
Oh, that's very concise. Very, very well done.
Thanks. That was all them.
That was all them. Okay. All
right. Boimler makes a big move. What's his big move?
He's moving. Like he moves.
Oh, makes... Right. Okay, right. They're literal. Yeah. Okay.
Although technically he makes many big moves.
Right. I know. Yeah.
Yeah. What'd you think of this episode? I felt like this was probably a necessary episode, but not an interesting one from the Star Trek perspective.
Yeah. I mean, it was exactly that. Yep. It was kind of a filler episode to kind of get these people into where they need to be for the next episodes. Like Mariner's not going to stop sabotaging herself. Rutherford's now been promoted. Rutherford and Boimler are now roommates, which provides the necessary antics for future episodes. Yeah, this episode seemed like a fun episode and a good one, but it was just shuffling the pieces in place.
Yeah, I felt the Mariner thing I just couldn't give a shit about. I have complained about this before, where it seems like all of her plot lines... Well, they are.
Right.
All of the Mariner episodes are this. This is it. Can they not have her do anything different? Maybe this will be the last one. Maybe this is the swan song for this particular trope that they've created, the stereotype for Mariner that they've created.
That was kind of the impression that I was getting. Like it was almost like the writers knew it as well, And so they put her into this position with Ransom, trying really hard to not be upset and to genuinely support her.
Ransom was kind of the stand-in for the audience. Like, I'm not going to deal with it anymore. I'm just going to pretend like it's not there.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, even she acknowledges. She was like, why do I do this? But it's also weird because I feel like she's had those questions as well. I mean, you know, the holodeck episode that we watched where she was fighting herself, you know, like there were moments in there where she was either arguing with herself saying, I don't do those things, or she was questioning herself saying, you're right, but why do I do those things? So it's hopefully after however long it's been, 4 seasons, 5 years, 6 years, something like that, we will finally have growth in this character and she will genuinely want to improve herself. I mean, I get that it's to defy her mom, but there should be more to
it. Mom wasn't even in the episode. The only appearance her mom makes is in the holodeck. And we hear her through the walls.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's right.
She's making her speech for her scat performance, which is so weird.
But it's also, it's so appropriate because holodecks allow you to create whatever shit you want.
Yeah, it's so great. And that's what she chose.
Yeah.
That's how ambitious she is. She could be, you know, doing literally anything.
Right.
Anything. I wonder, so tell me this. Let's talk about the holodeck for a second, because there's not a lot to talk about in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And we've never talked about the holodeck ever, so let's might as well do that now.
Right, finally. After 150 episodes.
I wonder if you could do anything on the holodeck, which you can. Mm-hmm. We settled that. Would you get tired of just all of the stuff that I think that most people would probably do on the onset of the technology, which is just fuck everything?
Mm-hmm.
At least men, maybe not women, but you know, I would think that I want to skydive and not have to worry about dying. No, I'm going to go have sex again. You know, but would that eventually get old?
Well, I mean, it might also be one of those things where there are holodecks that don't allow those programs. I mean, clearly the Enterprise doesn't have that given all the things that happened, but like the fact that DS9 has holo suites kind of implies that there are ships or places where it's just recreational holodecks. It's not anything sexual.
Well, I mean, how would they know? I mean, I guess they can just turn, like they have parental controls on holodecks now, but let's say they didn't do that. Let's say that you could go in there and do whatever you wanted.
Okay.
Like, I would think that at a certain point you would get tired of it. No? I mean, maybe not. I mean, we don't really get tired of having sex out here in the real world.
Right. But there is that element of not randomness, not happenstance, but there's another person involved, you know? Like, and if you were able to well, we've got sex bots now, and I mean,
what, can you just tell me where it might be?
Like, they're ridiculous. They're prohibitively expensive. So it's not something that, like, you know, what's Fascinations has, but they are a thing. And to my knowledge, those people who have them have disappeared from society and never surface again. So clearly they're not something that like people get bored with.
Yeah, I think it's the scenario though. I think eventually you have this robot who is probably fairly rudimentary in terms of the act of sex.
Right.
Right. So I think that the holodeck, you can have any scenario that you want with any person. I mean, maybe there's a thing there that you can't just have sex with any person, that you know, that would be against the law in some way. It has to be sort of randomly generated.
An AI generated.
But even then,
yeah,
it can be anything. So, but even then, like, I could see just being like in between sex activities that you would want to do a holonovel or something like that. Like the holonovel seems like the best non-sex activity where you're a part of whatever story and it's ongoing. It could be ongoing forever. You could have an entirely new life on there as recreation. It's like, what's going to happen today as a private eye or as a beat cop in the 1970s? So who moonlights as a porn star? That's where kind of all kind of goes though, right?
Well, yeah, I feel like there would definitely be restrictions on it. So not everything would just segue into sex unless you were doing some kind of erotica novel.
But why? Like, why would there be restrictions? If there's no religion, mm-hmm. why would sex be bad?
Just because it's highly distracting. You know, that's true. There's a time and a place for it.
It's hard to work on the warp core when you're having sex.
Right, right. But
anyway, I was just wondering, do you think that eventually people would just stop going in there and having sex with whatever they want and start doing other things that are inaccessible to them?
I think that unless they are forced, no. There will always be some kind of sexual element to it. Like, I've never gone skydiving. Like, I should totally go skydiving. I should go skydiving and see if I can land my dick in a chick.
It's the ultimate. Like, you know those videos where they're dropping these bowling balls right. off of, like, 1,000-foot towers trying to hit a mark? Like, that's what it is. It'll yeah. turn into that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it's just, you wonder, like, because that's what it would be used for most of the time, right?
Right. Unless restricted otherwise, right.
Right.
And like when I say restricted, I mean either you're not allowed or there's a time limit on that. You know,
ouch! Like, you got to get in and out in 5 minutes.
I mean, yeah, most guys would be like, well, that's all I need. Yeah. Especially if that you long? Are if you are able right if you are able to create the program, you would be like, I've got 45 seconds. Like, computer, create the most sexually stimulating program that will. Finish me in 45 seconds.
You know. Computer, create the train from Back to the Future Part 3. Why are we talking about that? Oh, right. It was Mariner's mom. What's her name? Carol Mariner? Is that her name? No.
Who?
What's the captain's name? The captain.
It's not...
Schwartz...
Swanson?
Carol Swanson.
Samsonite.
Nutcracker.
Freeman.
Her name is Freeman Nutcracker?
Yep.
Captain Freeman Nutcracker at your service, sir.
They call her Carol for short.
This is a terrible episode so far. I feel sorry for our listeners, is what I'm saying. So, okay, so it starts out. The biggest sort of punch you in the face reference of this particular episode is when they're stretching. Ransom is stretching uh-huh. with, what's his name? Schnacks? What's his name?
Shax, I think.
Sax? Shax. Yeah. And, okay, so they're obviously referencing that Next Gen episode where
which
Beverly
has been referenced before, but yes.
Well, here's the thing. Okay. That is not a reference to that episode. It's a reference to the meme of that. Like, there's that meme that just floats around. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to comment on whether or not it was an innocent directorial choice to have them doing the things that they're doing in that episode, in the original episode. But I feel like it wasn't, it's a reference to the meme. Like, it's not a Star Trek reference, really, right? It's more of a reference to the weirdness of the scenario that has really nothing to do with Star Trek.
That's fair, yes. Yeah. It's more a reference to the weirdness of those outfits. But I love that they have basically made it unisex. Like, that's your exercise outfit in the future.
I mean, I'm sure that's what people wore in the early 90s to go exercise.
Oh, right? Totally, yeah. No.
I mean, they wear that now. They're just black.
Right.
So, yeah, it just sort of struck me that this was not... It was a wink, wink, nod, nod, I've seen the meme too kind of thing. Not mm-hmm. any... It's not Star Trek. Like, what is Star Trek about that? Other than that Star Trek characters were doing that in a Star Trek episode. Maybe that's enough.
Well, yeah, but they've shown those outfits in another way when, like, they were evacuating the ship and they just had two people in those outfits running away. So, like... They're suggesting that these are way more common outfits, and that they can, you know, they have kind of one purpose, but might be multi-purpose because we don't know what they were wearing them for last time.
I don't want to get too far in the weeds of this, but
okay.
That's maybe what I don't like about it is that it's suggesting something that it's not suggesting anything. It's just a joke. Mm-hmm. It doesn't inform anything about Star Trek or the Star Trek universe. It's just a funny joke.
Right.
It's not even a joke. It's just is it a joke? I don't know. Like, it doesn't do anything for the show. I feel like that would be funny in a non-Star Trek show, Family Guy or something like that. It's just funnier because it's more random.
Sure. Oh, definitely. But you're saying like the unitards in general, like if they just showed up in a different show?
Well, that exact scenario of them aping what they did in the Next Gen episode and Family Guy is sort of like that's a reference, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But the fact that they're doing that and not commenting on anything else except, oh, we do this too. Like, but they're not even saying that because unless everybody now goes into the holodeck dressed like that. Or we get some, like, or that Ransom turns out to be a huge Beverly file, you know,
right.
or Troy file, or gross. Something okay. like that. Yeah. Like, give us some, like, unless there's some sort of reason for that, it's just a thing that happened. Like, it feels watered down. It just doesn't punch you in the face. Like, it's like, oh, I get that. I recognize that. I see what they're doing. I see it. They're dressed the men and the women's outfit. You know what I mean? It doesn't do anything. Because right. it will never come back, right? It'll never happen. Unless it will. Maybe it will. Maybe they feel as though they've opened up a new well, a new barrel to scrape the bottom of.
Well, right. But kind of what you just said, unless they are going to pay it off later, it really is just that. Just kind of like the skirt uniform, but it's called something, not the skort, I don't think.
It's a dress uniform, I thought, wasn't it? At least at a certain point it was.
Well, but in like the first season, in the first season of The Next Generation, and I think maybe a few in Lower Decks, I don't remember, but there are men who are walking around in that little miniskirt uniform, kind of showing that it wasn't just a female thing, it was just a uniform option.
I think the reason they did that in the Star Trek in the Next Generation episode was to be a bit rebellious and to turn a few heads considering the culture that they were in. I don't think it had anything. They weren't trying to establish anything with Star Trek necessarily, in my opinion.
Right.
Because they don't, it doesn't come back because they realized this is ridiculous.
Right. Yeah.
There's a reason why men don't wear skirts.
Yeah. I mean, that's strictly a women thing. Like, what guy would wear skirts? Come on.
Well, you know, there's a physiological reason why you wouldn't wear a mini skirt. You know,
at least for older men. Yeah.
I liked it. Like, it was funny. You know, it was a reference, but it just didn't do anything.
Right. But I like those kind of references, kind of, you know, we've talked about this before, where they don't draw attention to them. It's just there. And if you know, you know. And if you don't, like, it doesn't really detract from the episode. You don't feel lost other than thinking, well, that's a weird outfit.
I would have a lot more respect for this joke if every time we saw Ransom working out, that they would be doing that. And is this post-workout or pre-workout?
Oh, you're right. I always assumed it was pre, but you're right. Like, they may be done.
They say that you're supposed to stretch after the workout.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Did they not say that anymore?
That is a thing, that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you eat fish.
It's kind of like coffee. It used to be bad for you, now it's good for you. Soon it'll be bad for you again, and then it'll come back around the horn and be good for you again.
Well, yeah, and I mean, that's kind of a science thing. Like, people will come out with studies that prove something, and then other people will want to discover whether or not that's true or defunk it. And in the process, they will discover something new about whatever they were researching. That's how science works.
So in the process of trying to debunk that coffee is bad for you, they learn that stretching should be done after a workout.
Exactly. You got it.
That's what you're trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So speaking of that, I'm going to guess that Boimler's mirror universe Archer doll, this is not the first time we're hearing about this, right?
Right.
Okay.
So oh, like his action figures?
His doll. Yeah, his action figures.
I don't.
Is this the first time we're hearing about them?
I don't think so. This may be the first time we're seeing them, though.
Oh, really? Wow. Because they mention them a lot, like more than I would think if this was an ongoing thing, then you would need to.
Right. No, he is just a Star Trek nerd in general. And so I think that they've mentioned like the various things that he has. But because now that he's moving, this is the first time we're seeing them, I think.
It's okay. So this is very interesting because we haven't gotten far enough in Enterprise to really know the answer to this. But the mirror universe in the Enterprise context, the original crew or the regular universe crew doesn't know about, do
right.
they?
No, yeah. In Enterprise, there was just, oh, I see what you're saying. Right.
Like, how would they know about the Archer mirror universe doll? Unless there was another episode that we haven't seen yet where they do meet up.
They were going to meet up in season 5. and they had a whole storyline for it, but it got canceled, so it doesn't matter. But just those two episodes in Enterprise, they were completely standalone, and there was no crossover between the Prime and the Mirror.
What happened? Because I know that in Deep Space Nine, there was definitely some crossover between mm-hmm. the Mirror universe and the regular universe.
Yeah, like they hopped over all the time.
So maybe there was some other episodes that happened that we haven't seen where Archer makes an appearance on Deep Space Nine or something like that. Is that possible?
Possible, but there is no episode where that has happened. That has not happened yet.
So why does he know about Mirror Universe Archer?
This is a great continuity question. Like that is not a thing that he should know about at all.
And you're sure in all of Enterprise that they never meet up with the original crew?
Positive.
Okay. Well, we got to make a couple phone calls.
Right? Yeah. Just email again as Kirk's son.
Wait, is it Shatner's son or Kirk's son?
I don't understand the question.
I feel like one has a lot more credibility. Yeah. This is Captain Kirk's son. I'd like to talk to the head of Paramount immediately. You have a name, sir?
Right. Well,
I think you have enough information.
Shouldn't you have died?
Just put him on the phone.
Like, aren't you dead? No, that's several hundred years in the future. I am very much alive. Thank you. Yeah. Don't be ridiculous.
Okay. So we need to find out. Listeners, you have work to do.
Right. But no,
What's going on?
I'm fairly positive. I'm like over 80%, possibly over 90% positive that there is no further reference to Mirror Enterprise beyond that episode from Enterprise where there was no crossover. Like that is,
unless there's this discovery thing happening. Is that possible where they mention it or encounter something?
Maybe.
Because we are coming out with a episode one discovery or a season one discovery episode. That's right. Coming soon, everybody. Just keep listening.
Soon, very much in quotes. Yeah.
So you said you might be possibly over 90% positive. How positive are you that it's over 90%?
I'm like 97% positive that I'm over 90%.
Wow. Whew. Okay. Okay, well, we'll get to the bottom of that. We'll get back to you on this.
I'm fairly certain that's a continuity error. Like, I don't think that there's any way that Boimler could know.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
To me. That's one thing that occurred to me, that in staffing the writers of this show, that would be very difficult to do, because I would think that finding fans, like true fans, not even necessarily fans, but people like you and me, that have a pretty good working knowledge and are fans in the sense that they really enjoy the show and enjoy the universe and know enough to at least know all the character names.
Right. Which we're not there.
Yeah, we're not there yet. But, you know, people that click a couple of clicks above us, but who are also comedy writers. That seems like a pretty tough thing to do.
I don't think so.
Because they have to be young enough to really understand a modern animation comedic sensibility.
Okay. I'm with you now.
And and to also know enough about Star Trek, unless their reference people are separate from the comedy people. But even then, it's hard to write comedy one step away from having knowledge of it. That would be very difficult to do. Like,
yeah.
It's someone giving you an encyclopedia of all the stuff. It's like handing an encyclopedia to the comedy writer. It's like, here's all the stuff that happened in Star Trek. Make some jokes.
Right. Yeah. Like you have to have an appreciation of the show for these jokes to be landing and to be written the way that they do.
We should get some people on the telephone. We're calling a lot of people, aren't we?
Yeah, this is definitely setting up our itinerary for tomorrow.
Oh yeah, shit, tomorrow's Monday.
Tomorrow's Tuesday. What are you talking about? Like, this is coming out, it's Monday.
All right, that's right, we're recording this live. Yeah. Like, that's right. Whenever somebody listens to this, we're live at that moment.
Right, which is exhausting. I wish you guys would all just listen at the same time. Like, it is very difficult to remember what we talked about when we talked about it.
Yeah. Okay, so speaking of getting back to us, what happened to the plot line with Rutherford's existence being a conspiracy, a Federation, Starfleet conspiracy, something like that? That just disappeared?
Yeah, but that's also because his headset that had that previous personality is now floating in space. And again, kind of the same thing. Like, I feel like that's going to come back with all of the rampant AI that is developing in this series.
Well, we also have the, I mean, maybe that's another thing that's happening.
Right.
With that ship that is going around killing all of the evil, considered evil alien races at this point. I mean, we'll see in this next episode, which is already out. So there are a bunch of people snapping a pencil listening to this. I mean, like, we know who it is.
Right. Yeah, I'm also curious to know if there's going to be any, if Boba Fett's going to show up in this third episode.
Do you already know?
No, I don't. Are you setting us up? No, I do like your idea that just in every episode, at some point, that ship just wipes out some other alien ship.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Right.
That's all that happens.
But so here, to extend to that, my hope also is that when it runs into a Starfleet ship, that it does just annihilate the crew. There is no survivor. Because so far there have been no survivors, and right. it always bothers me, kind of like what happened with Ant-Man 3, you know, where like the villain is just wiping out any side characters and extras, but then when it comes to the protagonist, like they either talk too much or they just hurt them without annihilating them.
Is that what happens? I haven't seen the show.
Oh yeah, yeah. So. Spoiler, I guess.
I can't remember. Did you like the movie or did you not like the movie?
I did, but I have a tendency to like not really overthink the stuff until people start talking about it, you know, and then I'll reflect on it and kind of go, oh yeah, that's a good point. But in the moment, like it takes a lot to pull me out of the movie, like having a blanket when you see a demon baby on the war front.
Can you think in recent history of a moment in a movie or television show that did actually just pull you out and kind of make you lose your enthusiasm?
Well, this is kind of the problem too. Like, yes, I remember the moment. I cannot tell you what it was about. Like,
oh, because you totally checked out. Wow.
Well, right. I was like, that's it. I'm done. Don't even remember what I was watching. I remember the feeling, but I don't remember what I was watching to make it. To give me that experience.
So not even the show?
No.
You don't remember like what you're watching? Wow. Yeah. Wow, your brain is like super efficient.
No, it just remembers feelings. It doesn't remember details.
Yeah. Well, I wanted, like, that was interesting. That whole Rutherford plot line, I was excited about that. Mm-hmm. They didn't really wrap it up at all either, did they?
No, they left his headset just kind of floating out there. That's what I'm saying. Like, Lower Decks does a really good job at being episodic while still coming back to those floating moments, those floating questions.
Yeah, I do wonder, does this Boba Fett ship, did it pick up this other, you know, this other headset of his?
Right.
And is it a combination of the, what's it called, Peanut Butter Hamper?
Peanut Hamper, yeah. And Jeffrey Combs.
Butter's her middle name.
Right.
are all of these things going to culminate in one giant alien terrible ship? That's my prediction.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah. What else happened this episode? That's all. That's the end of my notes.
The menagerie.
Was that, so I know that that happens in Orville. That whole scenario of a zoo of multiple races.
Oh,
multiple,
okay.
Yeah, that happens in Orville, but I don't know of anything that happens in Star Trek. Although the word menagerie does ring a bell.
Right. Well, there...
Doesn't it?
Yeah. There might be an episode called The Menagerie, and it may be the episode I'm thinking of. There was an episode where data was collected by... I think
that's
it was
the
called the
biggest
collector.
Toys or the most toy. I think it's called the most toys.
Okay, but still,
that
I
was
mean,
a great episode.
Yeah, and Pike was collected into a menagerie from the cage, and there was another TOS episode, there's another original series episode where there was a menagerie.
Okay, well then maybe that was a reference. I mean, it seemed way too ostentatious of an episode for it not to be some sort of reference to something that happened previously in Star Trek. It seemed like such a big thing that really didn't go anywhere. I know the Moopsie thing was funny,
right?
But it was kind of a one note funny.
Mm-hmm.
I did like the gobblers or whatever those terrible frightening aliens were that Moopsie just made quick work of and just slammed bit into them and slammed them onto the ground.
Right.
That was funny. But, you know, not a, I guess it was more for the character of Mariner to come to terms with Ransom and et cetera and her own like once again, mm-hmm. again.
Right, you know? Right.
Not a lot happened on this episode. It's kind of just I mean, it was fine, right? It wasn't unfunny. It was just fine. I mean, the most interesting thing that happened to me was that I guess all the windows have the ability to shade them down in case you're right next to the nacelle.
Well, I didn't think in case you were right next to the nacelle. I thought that it was more in case that you're like by some kind of blinding sun.
Right, which nobody in Next Gen had. They were always just watching space.
Right. Or maybe they did and they were just always tinted down. So the only thing could see were the stars.
I always loved it. They didn't do this that often. But in Next Gen, where they were just having a conversation somewhere, but they were traveling at light speed or warp speed.
Right.
And then you could see the stars in the background kind of going by. It wasn't just a static star field.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I just, for some reason, I loved that they were in motion and they never referenced it,
Right. Yeah.
It was just, we're traveling at warp speed somewhere. And that's the way it was. It happens all the time. Why would we mention it anyway?
Right. Right.
We're not usually just stopped. Yeah. What are we talking about?
The windows being tinted.
Oh, yeah. That was the most interesting thing. I was like, oh, that was cool. How does he not know that? How does Boimler not know that?
Right. Well, because he's been in Lower Decks. But again, he's kind of a Star Trek nerd. But he's never had to deal with the window tint, and it's not something that's brought up.
I guess that's true. I guess that's a good indication that this is his first real room.
Right.
That has a window.
Yeah. And maybe that's a deeper indication, to Rutherford knowing because he used to be a higher ranking.
Yeah, it's true. Did you like the Romulan scenario or the little vignette that happens between the two subordinates of the captain as much as the Klingon one?
No. No, and I think that maybe because the Klingon stereotype we've seen enough that that was funny, and the Romulan stereotype felt too great to
be too broad.
Yeah, it was too broad and too over exaggerated.
I liked it. I liked that they kind of nailed how Romulans are typically portrayed, where how do you guys get anything done if you're always trying to subvert and take over each other's jobs? Like, I felt like it outlined it pretty well.
Okay.
But they're all conscious of it. It's like, I know you're scheming to get me, but we have to take this other thing. Let's fire phasers, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, well, that's kind of what I didn't like about it. I feel like Romulans are always so subtle about it. Like it's only revealed that they've been plotting against each other when it's exposed. Like they don't actively discuss their subterfuge.
I did like the implication, though, that there's many layers to all the different subordinates scheming to get their
yes, their I did appreciate that. Superiors'
jobs. Yeah. I guess. And that they were insulted that they would think that I would stoop as low as to try and get your job in that way, that my way would be so much better and more interesting than the other way that you just suggested.
Right. Well, yeah, and I did also like that they paused their scheming between each other to like collaborate to scheme against something else.
To handle it. Well, that's fine with me. That's almost like, oh, that's how Romulans get it done.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. It just, with that much open lack of trust, there didn't seem to be, like I said, I just felt overly exaggerated to me. I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, 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 it was fun. It was fun to me. They're gone now, so it doesn't matter.
Right, yeah.
And who were what was the race that they had just finished torturing and were cleaning up after? It starts with a B. It was a race that I recognized but couldn't quite place in the Star Trek universe. It was like the Bleemers or the
Oh no, it was Remans.
Remans, yes.
Yeah.
I'm so bad at that. It's like, oh, it starts with a B, I'm sure of it. It's not a B in the whole word. What's the Remer? What is that?
So Romulus and Remus are two mythological.
Oh, right. That's from blah blah blah. Nemesis.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. What else do you want to talk about?
Do you want to talk about Moopsie at all?
You can talk about Moopsie. I like Moopsie.
Yeah. Or like the human twist at the end?
I actually watched it a second time because I felt like I didn't have anything to say.
Okay.
And I watched it a second time and found some stuff.
I found out I was right. There's nothing to talk about.
Yeah. What a waste of time. The door was upside down at the beginning of the episode when we first see the humans.
Oh, was it? Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was upside down.
Nice.
That was cool. Yeah. And I didn't catch it the first time.
So I really appreciate when shows do that sort of thing where you can go back and watch it again and see that that clue, I guess, was already there. You know, and what's nice about this one is like it didn't even have to be. Like they could have snuck in again.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean it didn't, they could have made it entirely unguessable.
Right.
And they didn't. I like that.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. And I like that we never hear the humans talk. And I like that when one of them leaves the door upside down, that they just start bickering and arguing again. Right. Somebody messed up.
Yeah.
That was funny. So the whole Moopsie thing, I was just okay with because I felt like it was not anything particularly new, right? The cute little thing that turns into a monster. Mm-hmm. Like we've seen this before. We've seen this on Galaxy Quest.
Yeah, true.
Which is the second best Star Trek movie, as we discovered.
Yeah. I was actually I wonder if Lower Decks will ever make a reference to Galaxy Quest. And not as in Galaxy Quest, but as in, you know, like by Rakthos Hammer or something like that.
Right. That'd be funny if they had his race as the reference. Like he's on, mm-hmm. that race is on the show and that's the only, it's not an overt reference.
Right, right.
Yeah, I thought Moopsie was entertaining. I did want to know, is Moopsie sort of warp level intelligent? Or is Moopsie just an animal who accidentally send the space station?
That is, oh my gosh, like, it's such a good point. Every other creature in there was a wild thing. It was a creature. And then here's this alien that is warp capable, and they're just locked up in this menagerie.
Well, and it kind of begs the question, so they say that the humans were accidentally scooped up in some sort of harvesting, whatever they said. Because you're right, you do get the impression that the whole station is a zoo for wild animals, mm-hmm. not for intelligent beings.
Right.
And so they don't just let them go free and say, hey, sorry, we didn't mean to do that. Here's some clothing and some food. They mm-hmm. put them in their own cell.
Right.
Like, why did they put them into their own? That is like a beach setting, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's not even like a forest. It's what we would consider the optimal vacation setting.
Right.
So they did research on humans and said, well, we have humans. Might as well put them in as an exhibit.
Right.
As a visiting exhibit.
Yeah. Like the moment the creature started talking to them, they might have been like, oh, okay. You don't belong in here.
So many questions we have in this episode. This particularly, you know, not particularly interesting episode just got really interesting.
Right.
Maybe there's a lot of information in the absence of information.
Yeah.
You ever think of that?
I mean, we also haven't watched every episode yet, so.
Why am I so argumentative with you? are we done?
I think so. So not a proper episode. Not a proper Star Trek episode.
No, this wasn't very interesting. Nothing interesting. Although it does, there's a lot of implications in the Mirror Universe Archer doll. A lot of implications there.
Yes.
But not enough, I don't think. I don't think enough.
You don't think enough to what? Make it proper Star Trek? Sorry. You don't think enough what? To make it proper Star Trek?
Yeah, I don't think it's enough to... Didn't tickle my balls enough.
I guess, by the way, a French phrase of... doesn't matter to me, is it slaps my balls.
Well, I want it in French.
I don't know what it is. Sorry.
It slaps my balls. Well, we're now using that from now on.
Okay.
So Lower Decks next week, season 4, episode 3, Thou Shalt Not Beam. See, it doesn't work, writers. You can't just take something that's super, what you can, like a Shakespeare quote, and put your own Star Trek lingo into it.
Right.
It's not as cool as you think it is.
Alas, poor Yorick, I knew him, Rutherford. Yeah. It's in the cradle of Exelon. Boimler leads his first away mission on an alien megastructure.
By the way, do you like how I just credited the Ten Commandments to Shakespeare?
Oh my gosh.
That's how brilliant he was.
Thou shalt not what? What did you say?
Beam.
Thou shalt not beam. Okay.
So stupid. I'm so stupid.
All right. Well, it's your turn.
I've been Paul.
And I've been Jonathan.
Are you trying to concoct who you're going to do at this point? Because you have so many that you can do.
Yes, but I'm also kind of just apologetic about this episode. Like, there just wasn't enough in the episode to really have a discussion of substance. And like, we've talked for over an hour, and I feel like we've talked for a very long time. And I feel like there's going to be not much of substance.
We'll see.
It was like the episode.
It'll be a tight 13-minute podcast episode.
Anyway.
And this has been the measure of an episode.
But you already goddamn knew that.
Yep, could be anybody. Anybody.